from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
7:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. I'm broadcasting live from WFAN Studio in New York City. And Jeremy holding it down in Baltimore at the Fan Studios. Now, I'm going to read SI.com's version of this because I love how they put it, how they worded it. Quarterback Lamar Jackson may have led the Baltimore Ravens to the AFC Championship game in 2023, but he is still subject to whispers from analysts and fans that he cannot perform in the playoffs. In the case of ex-New England Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman Sunday, Jackson was subject to loud whispers. Asked to pick the winner of the AFC Championship before a Fox preseason game, Edelman tabbed the Kansas City Chiefs while taking a pop shot at the two-time MVP. His quote is, "I've learned my lesson. I will never bet against the Chiefs again. It's not up to the Chiefs. We all know who the Chiefs are. We need to see Lamar Jackson, who's been on a milk carton in the playoffs. He's missing." And instantly, because it's Lamar Jackson, it's a two-time MVP. It's not just Baltimore's quarterback. Two-time MVP. That made national headlines.
You know, the weird thing about, so there's a couple different things with this. I can't believe Wes Welker said this, first of all. I'm sorry, Danny Amendola. I'm sorry, it was Julian Edelman. Same guy. Same short little white guy in the slot that's catching passes. It's got to open his mouth. But this is the thing that really pisses me off, because these guys continuously go to this, and the numbers aren't. If you go back to the AFC Championship loss and compare Lamar Jackson's numbers to Joe Burrow's numbers in the postseason when he beat Pat Mahomes, Lamar's numbers are better. Burrow in that game threw one touchdown and had two interceptions, and they won. But people are like, oh my God, he's better because of this. And this isn't me knocking Joe Burrow, but I don't think the standards of how people compare him. They'll take Justin Herbert, who's played in what, one playoff game, and go, oh my God, he deserves to be on this list, and he should be in this grouping. Lamar's won two MVPs. I get it. Look, the postseason success could be better. He's gone to way more postseason games in his first 7 years or first 6 years, as opposed to most of the guys that'll go in their career. Like, Pat Mahomes is an anomaly, and everybody that starts to compare people to him, it's ridiculous.
In fairness to the critics, though, if you look in the 6 playoff games, right, his completion percentage is 57.4. Regular season is 60. It's 65. His passer rating in the playoffs is 75. Regular season is 98. Yards per attempt is lower. He's thrown 6 touchdowns and 6 picks in the postseason. His numbers aren't good. You can't deny that, because it wasn't one bad game. Not good.
I think there are a lot of players whose numbers go down. Like, even if I pulled up Joe Burrow's numbers and went to it, you'll find a game that he killed it in the postseason the same way.
But this is 6 games.
I get it.
It's a body of work.
If you're going to sit here and talk about Joe Burrow's older than him. If you want to sit here and talk about and compare players, why isn't Josh Allen getting this same criticism?
Because the expectations are different. That's why I look at this. It's like, we get upset when people say Lamar doesn't live up to their expectations, that means the expectations are through the roof. He's talking about the two teams that he thinks are worthy of going to the Super Bowl. He didn't mention Joe Burrow because he doesn't think he's worthy. He didn't mention Josh Allen because he didn't think he's worthy. He didn't mention Justin Herbert because he didn't think he's worthy. He brought Lamar Jackson up because that's the only man and the only team that compares to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that's won multiple Super Bowls under Pat Mahomes. I don't take it as an insult. I take it as, you know what? It goes back to that whole thing I always say when Kobe was playing, hey, he's no Michael Jordan. That's all you got. Mm-hmm. So all you have is Patrick Mahomes. Then you're saying you think very highly of this guy because Patrick Mahomes has been to what, three Super Bowls?
You mentioned Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. In 10 playoff games in his career, passer rating of 100, 21 touchdowns, 4 picks, 2,700 yards. That's why nobody's criticizing him.
No, but what does it amount to? It's the same thing.
But they're talking about performance.
No, but see, this is totally different when we're starting to break these guys down. I can't believe I'm the one that's going to jump up here and blindly defend Lamar here. And I'm not.
We all like Lamar.
He's not devoid of criticism. Yeah. But the level that they compare these guys to. No, he's not. Like, you can definitely criticize. I think his numbers should be better in the postseason. But it drives me insane when these guys start to compare these players and they lift one up that has a worse resume than what Lamar has.
But that's not the case here. This is not what Julie Edelman was doing. Julie Edelman was saying these are the best two teams in the AFC, and the reason he's picking one over the other is because Lamar has underperformed.
He said Lamar's been on the back of a milk carton, meaning he doesn't show up.
Yes. Okay, so but that's in comparison to the other team.
What team?
That's what that is.
No, it's in general. It's in general. This is what people talk about. The context of the conversation was because I saw the show.
The context of the conversation was who was going to win the AFC championship. The reason he's not picking Lamar is because Lamar has not been a playoff performer. He's not been a playoff performer. He just hasn't. So if that's his reason, and you look at Lamar's numbers, it's a legitimate reason. I think Lamar can beat Texas doing what he's doing, or Houston. I think Lamar can beat this team, but when it comes down to the Kansas City Chiefs, he can't beat them doing what he's doing. And we saw that. Lamar didn't run enough against Kansas City. He didn't complete enough passes. I mean, he just wasn't Lamar in that AFC championship
game. They ran the ball 6 times with running backs, man. Come on.
I understand that, but there were times when he dropped back to pass. There was nothing in front of him.
But again,
he had a wide receiver on the sideline begging him, hey, dude, you got room in front of you. Run.
Again, how does everybody feel about Joe Burrow, right? He gets the same. Mm-hmm. His numbers were worse in the AFC championship in the game he won.
But
not all games.
I think he criticized Burrow, too, in the same conversation.
Go ahead.
However, this is about the two teams that he thinks are the best in the AFC.
They're 1-2 in ESPN's power rankings, by the way, for this season. Ooh. Chiefs are number one, the Ravens are number two.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the conversation is about.
Yeah.
If you want to start comparing quarterbacks, making that conversation, then fine.
No, but
this is about why he doesn't think.
No, that's what you made the conversation about. I think it's vastly different when we start comparing these guys and arguing about it. Julian Edelman said, I'll never bet against Pat Mahomes. Lamar Jackson's on a milk carton. So what do you think that means, comparatively speaking, to the other guard?
But come up and say, well, you know, if the Cincinnati Bengals were in, I think they got a chance because this guy's better.
But there's a way to praise Pat Mahomes without crapping all over Lamar. And again, that's what I think this is.
But
and
he's been on a milk carton. He has. He's been missing.
Dude,
he was not a presence in the AFC Championship game. He wasn't. Lamar Jackson is a presence. He's not a pedestrian.
So he's
not a guy
that's
just playing
the
game.
End zone?
He's supposed to stand above everybody else, and he didn't. That's bottom line.
I'm not buying
that. We can tiptoe around it all we want. He did not do what he was supposed to do in an AFC Championship game at home. He had everything in his favor, and he didn't do it.
But that's weird. You're just putting it all on him, so it's just all his
fault. Because he's the best player on the team.
It doesn't matter that he's the best player on the team. It's a team game.
You got to play.
There's 11 guys out there on both sides of the ball.
He's a franchise quarterback who's supposed to be able to carry his team.
So he should have stopped Zay from fumbling the ball in the end zone. He should have changed all the plays and made them running plays.
Why are the Ravens in the playoffs?
Because they had the best team in football.
Okay. Why were they not in the playoffs when Lamar got hurt?
Because they didn't have a backup quarterback to take them there. And by the way, they did go to the playoffs with a backup quarterback with Huntley, and he tried to sneak it in from the 2-yard line.
It was the year they didn't go. I believe they started off 8-3, and they didn't go to the playoffs. That's when Lamar got hurt the year before.
So
they started off pretty hot.
What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? He's the best player on the field.
It does have something to do with it, because insert Lamar. Okay, let's go back to Lamar's rookie year. 4-5. Coach is about to get fired. Offensive line is horrible. That's horrible. This is horrible. You put Lamar in 10-6 in the playoffs. One player can make a difference, especially when it's your quarterback. And one player can make. Look at all the teams that don't have quarterbacks. All of a sudden, you give them a quarterback, things change. The Jets were a Super Bowl contender, allegedly.
It's
one player goes down, they're nothing.
It's the most important position on the field, Rob.
Exactly.
It's not the only position.
But he didn't play like Lamar. If he plays like Lamar and they lose, that's fine. But he was part of the problem. As a franchise quarterback, paid like a franchise quarterback, play like a franchise quarterback when it matters.
I disagree.
I want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Haven't done my taxes.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Codd. So Julian Edelman says Lamar Jackson has been on the milk carton during the playoffs. Why are we offended by those comments? Let's go to Baltimore and get Rashawn. What's up, Rashawn?
Is he there? He didn't mention Cowboys, so I don't think he's Rashawn. There yet. Rashawn, pick up the phone. No Rashawn?
Guess not. Let's move on.
Keep it moving.
Let's move on. That's right. State your business. Let's go to Dave on the Eastern Shore.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Dave?
I just want to preface this by saying that I love Lamar Jackson, and I believe
him.
And I think that we can win a playoff, more playoff games with him. But All right, so we had the Flacco era where we got used to him being in the regular season just kind of meh. And then he went on that postseason run where he was just amazing.
He had one postseason run where he was amazing.
Yeah, that's
very average,
thank you, Jeremy,
in all those other games.
But his whole career is four games.
So everybody's like, oh, my God, Joe Flacco is the greatest. But was he really? And just like you guys just said, he was not. So now that we got Lamar Jackson, who's the complete opposite, he's amazing during the regular season, and he's been struggling during the postseason. And I think it's more game plan than it is his actual talent. And I hope that he can pull it together. But I do think that he's been missing in the playoffs, whether it's game plan.
And for the record, Flacco was 10-6 in his playoff career.
Yeah, we can sit there and look at the wins and losses, but look at the numbers.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if people are looking at that,
he won a game where he threw for 58 yards.
Yeah, I know.
Why does he get a win for that? I'm not knocking Flacco.
3 of 14 or something?
I mean, Terrell Suggs had a strip sack for a touchdown. He did more in that game. And, like, you know, I'm not trying to trash Joe Flacco. My problem is, like, we take numbers and we look at them and we use them to fit the narrative. Like, if I want to talk about...
what else you got?
Well, I'm just saying. No, I'll give you an example. You brought up Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. He's thrown the ball 378 times in 5 playoff games. Lamar's been in 6, and he's thrown it 195 times. The offenses are different, and that's why it's so frustrating that you play this role the whole season where you're a dominant run team, and you go into the postseason, you face a team that just had their asses handed to them in the run game, found a way to win it, and you go, yeah, give the running back 6 times.
And by the way, he's averaged almost 49 attempts in the losses, so it goes back to the game plan that Dave was talking about. Let's go back to Rashawn in Baltimore.
Hey, I'm back, y'all. Sorry about that.
There you go. Don't ever let it happen again.
I won't. Hey, listen, man. I think this guy, I think it's a little bit hate, man. You know, when it comes to Lamar, this guy hating on him. He's talking like, I can see if he said it was Dak Prescott or somebody disappeared in the playoffs, which he does. But Lamar really, in my opinion, had maybe, you know, one bad playoff game. That was the first one when against the Chargers at home. This last playoff game that we lost, I put a little bit on Lamar and also the coaching staff, but Lamar didn't do what he was best at, you know, which was his feet, man. Right. He had a lot of open holes, a lot of
Rashawn,
times
can I say
run.
Something to you? He couldn't have said Dak Prescott. Context is everything. It was about who's going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Dak is not a part of that conversation. I've said that 6 times. It's all about context.
Man, ain't nobody listening to you.
The reason why Lamar's name came up, because he thinks the Ravens and the Chiefs are the best two teams in the AFC. And the reason he thinks the Chiefs are going to win but, because he's putting more into Patrick Mahomes than he is Lamar Jackson.
My problem is people keep looking at Lamar like he's supposed to do the same things that these other guys do. He threw for 300 yards 3 times last year in a game. So you expect him to come in the postseason and just start slinging it all over the place against better teams when your offense has been run primarily running the football?
I'm just trying to keep the context straight. You know, people say, why not this guy? Why not that guy? Because the conversation was about the two best teams in the AFC. That's why those other guys' names weren't brought up. Let's go to James, who's in Florida.
James?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I was trying to take care of my son. I apologize. It's just one of those days. I just wanted to call up because I don't think that there's much argument to sit there and say anything against the statistics that Lamar has put up so far in the postseason. I mean, it's kind of plain and simple. I do think he gets almost anxiety in a way because, you know, looking at what he's had to deal with even the open lanes that he won't take, it seems like he shies away from some passes and then pulls the trigger too quickly on others. So I almost feel like it's an anxiety thing, but I don't think that we can argue at all with the fact that he hasn't performed at all.
Of course you can. Of course I can argue it.
Again, thanks a lot, James.
He's thrown the ball 195 times in the postseason.
Yes.
Of course you can argue it. Josh Allen has played less games and thrown it 370 times.
Josh Allen's had 10 playoff games.
But I'm saying he's thrown the ball 370 times.
But he's played 10 games, though.
But it's still...
played 4 more games.
It's still ridiculous to sit here and look at these numbers of...
370 times? Look 37 attempts.
Look at what he does in the regular season. Look at what they've done the whole year. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, well, you got to be a different quarterback in the postseason. It's not this... And then, again, if you want to go back and look at year one when he goes to the postseason, the hell was that offense? I don't even know how they made it to the postseason with an option offense in the NFL.
Lamar.
Yeah, because Micah, he's... Go ahead.
Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike? Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? I got to turn my radio down.
Thank you, sir.
But I want to talk about coaching.
Okay.
Don't nobody never bring up coaching.
I do.
We do all the time,
the
actually.
The fact that Andy Reid, the same coach that took Donovan McNabb to four straight NFC championship games. Andy Reid is a better coach than John Harbaugh.
But like you said, nobody brings it up. I made a comment the other day that if you put if you switch the teams, Lamar Jackson is going to the Super Bowl with Andy Reid. So we talked about that.
Yeah, Lamar be a Hall of Famer already. So I really just think it's the coaching, man. Like if Lamar was over there at Kansas City, oh man, he'd be a Hall of Famer already. So yeah. I mean, I just want to bring up the coaching, man. Coaching is everything.
Appreciate that. I think Lamar Jackson's a unicorn, and at this rate, I think he'll be a Hall of Famer. I don't think that's a.
And he's already.
He might be already.
Yeah, he's like two MVPs.
Yeah. So I don't. But to say nobody talks about it, we bring it up all the time. Jeremy just brought it up.
I think it's more of a reason than Lamar actually in the postseason.
We talk about it all the time.
Like I can't argue against that.
That the last year's loss, I blame the Tennessee loss on them when they lost to the Titans in what was it, 2020. Yeah, I mean they were behind by 8 points. You think they're behind by 30?
Yeah, you had your running game coordinator forgetting to run the football.
Yeah. Lamar threw for 365 yards in that game.
There are games in which that AFC Championship game, where he, in spite of coaching, still could have made plays, and he did not. We want to keep this thing rolling. We got a lot of calls. I'm getting a lot of texts.
Keep this on the griddle.
Oh, my gosh. You said what?
Keep this pancake on the griddle.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Still taking your calls on this hot topic of the day right here on The Fan. 7:31 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Julian Edelman went on Fox Sports, just talking about the top two teams in the AFC, the two teams that he thought had a chance to win the Super Bowl. He picked the Kansas City Chiefs, said he would know, he's learned not to bet against them, and also the fact that Lamar Jackson has been on the milk carton in the playoffs. Let's go to Sean in Baltimore. Sean?
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
What's up?
I'm glad y'all on this topic, man. My homeboys are getting mad at me when I be talking about stuff like this. But, man, when you got a quarterback that, you know, been doing what he been doing for the that had the decade on lock, I guess you could say things like that. And, I mean, Lamar, my man, but let's be honest. I mean, he haven't showed up in the playoffs, man. I'm sorry to say it, but he really haven't. So, I mean, you can't really argue about that.
Yeah, you can. Of course you can. Because to say he hasn't showed up, that's one. Hold on. To say he hasn't showed up is one thing. To say that he's underperformed and hasn't looked like he has in the regular season is another thing. And I'm not arguing that there aren't games we can't look at and say, yes, he's underperformed in those games or you had more expectations. But I have the same. I have people arguing me about Flacco saying he didn't just have one good run. And it's like, wait a minute.
Yes, the hell he did.
Yes, go back and look at it. And then he goes, well, what if Lee Evans doesn't drop the ball? Yeah, go ahead.
Jeremy, I'm gonna give you that, but I'm gonna say something this though. You gonna sit up here and say you be this quarterback in the regular season, then you're not supposed to be another quarterback in the playoffs. Come on, Jeremy, you gotta turn it up.
No,
come
it's
on,
not about if the play. Look,
come on, Jeremy.
How is the play calling going to change all of a sudden? You've run the ball 60% of the time, and now you're gonna come in.
But
there were plays that he still could have made despite the bad play call.
Exactly.
So he's got to be perfect in those games. I got you.
Not perfect, just better.
Nobody's saying you don't have to be better. Julian Edelman said he's on an effing milk cart.
Well,
like he disappeared. Like he
shouldn't elite quarterbacks, if you're a league MVP, when it comes to the playoffs, shouldn't you be putting the team on your shoulders and taking it? And that's not what's happening.
But we've went through this too, and I've had this arguments about when it comes to, we can go back to Peyton Manning, but I think there's more gripe to be had with him because his numbers weren't the same in the regular season.
Peyton?
Yes. His numbers weren't the same, and he's got more MVPs than anybody in this league. His numbers weren't the same in the regular season as opposed to the postseason until they changed the rules in that AFC Championship game the following year, and then it opened up for wide receivers in this league. But Peyton was one of those guys where, yes, they're running the same offense in the regular season that they're doing in the postseason, but I can't compare a Buffalo team that never runs the effing ball because they didn't have running backs until last year to a team that's coming in and they're going to primarily run the ball. Except in the AFC Championship when you should have done what you did all goddamn year.
Well, let's take it to the phone calls. Let's go to Towson and get Ed. What's up, Ed?
Yo, man, y'all going at it this morning, I tell you.
I still like Ed.
y'all rolling. Look. Wow, look at that. But look, Rob, you know the perspective I come from. And what did Ric Flair say, Ed? in order to be the best.
You got to beat the best.
You got to beat the best. That's a simple statement.
Yeah. I didn't say that. I said, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. Get
my bad, Roberto.
What's wrong?
My bad, Roberto. Right. But look, that's it, plain and simple. Throw the numbers out the window. You're going to have to. I spent my life playing against teams that I had the opportunity that they could beat me. And that's what drove me. The fear of losing to the best team in the United States is what drives me to want to play them, because that's a hell of a feeling to know that this joker might beat you. But you have to elevate your game. So it's a combination of things. It's John Harbaugh, whose gonads shrink up a little bit when he gets to that game. You got to go back to when you won it and try and be a different person. And it's Lamar Jackson. Throw the numbers out the window. You got Chris Jones as your spy in the championship game, and his job was not to rush. It was to watch you. And you see him, and you got to make a move. You got to elevate your game. Jordan with the flu against Utah, elevates your game. I'm not comparing Lamar to Jordan. All I'm saying, Jeremy, and you're right about, I understand your frustration. That's what a fan, that's a passion right there. Don't get rid of that. But that young man right there has got to be somebody else in that game. You know, you go off script. Rob, you know how it is when you go off script. Like, damn, I didn't coach that. Like that two guard you got right there. That chick's going to go off script, and you're going to be okay with it, because you're going to do something can't nobody else do.
But can Lamar go off script?
I don't know. Jeremy, answer that.
Everybody can go off script. Drop back the pass. You look at the pass. These are receivers. They're not open.
All right, thank you.
Go off script.
That's not the same thing as going off script. Like, you call a play and it breaks down, it doesn't work out, and you take off running. That's the result of the play. Can you change the play?
He didn't do it.
Okay.
Let's go to Rick in Pennsylvania. What's up, Rick?
I just make my points and get off of here. First of all, Jeremy, I love you, but. And I'll preface this by saying, like, Lamar is probably my favorite Raven of all time. But he has not shown up in the playoffs. He hasn't. And if you look at the AFC Championship game, I think that Zay made that mistake because he was trying to make up for the fact that Lamar wasn't being Lamar. I think that if Lamar would have played Lamar's game where he does go off script, but for whatever reason, I feel like sometimes someone, whether it's Lamar, the coaching staff, somebody's trying to prove that Lamar is not just this rushing quarterback.
I agree with that.
But you had OBJ begging him on the sideline, and Rob made this point earlier, to be Lamar, and it never came to fruition in that game. And I don't think what Edelman is saying is the most egregious thing. He's not running him down. He's not really crapping all over the guy. He's just saying he's not showing up. And there were play call issues in that game. Nobody can contest that there wasn't. But my biggest thing is, if Lamar would have been the guy that we have seen do amazing things that people, you know, love him for, we wouldn't have been having this discussion about six rushes in the AFC Championship game.
I agree.
I think that's why Edelman's comment is not that egregious.
But that's right.
Thanks a lot. Let me say this, Jeremy. Jeremy, I think Jeremy's an outstanding coach, only because I've heard. But, Jeremy, you still, because I've never seen your games, I think you still think like a player. And I think that's why the horrible play calling eats you alive so much.
Well,
because you're thinking about Jeremy Kahn, the player, with an opportunity. This coach is screwing it up on the sidelines.
Well, again, look, I think it's a combo. I think I'm just taking umbrage to the fact that people are saying that he shows he's on the back of a milk carton, meaning he doesn't show up at all. And I think that's BS. Like, they still had a chance to win the AFC Championship with the worst game plan ever in the history of the league going into an AFC championship.
Why?
Because they didn't run the damn ball.
No, why do they still have a chance?
Because they still had Lamar. Yeah.
I think you kind of proved the point.
No, I'm not, because you're saying he didn't show up in the postseason. So clearly he did show up in the postseason.
He didn't show up in that game.
He didn't?
No, I don't think so. He could have done more. Let's go to Parkhouse. Let's get E. What's up, E? Did Jeremy just say Bravo. Boy?
No, I said I didn't say boy. I said oi. I did not say boy to a black man. I said oi.
Again, hold up.
You dare put words in my mouth.
Context means everything. If you said boy, I didn't take it that way. I took it as like, oh boy.
Sorry, E.
Go ahead, E.
No, it's cool, man. Cool, man. Bravo, Commiss Khan, man. Good morning, fellas.
What's going on, man?
You know, I get into this conversation so much right here with just everybody, anybody who's a Baltimore Ravens fan, man. And you would think that I'm a Lamar hater, but I'm telling you, I'm the opposite of that.
I love
him. Here's the thing, right? But yeah, here's the thing, though, Ron. Right? You know, there's a lot of talking out here about pronouns and stuff like that these days. So I'm gonna come from a pronoun perspective here, right? Like, come on, man, keep talking about they, right? They. So, but what you're talking about and where I come from is the him of things, right? So,
I like the pronoun perspective.
Like last year, right, in the AFC Championship, like you said, Carman, you just said it just now. We still had a chance to win the game after the Zay Flowers fumbled the ball into the end zone. Now, listen.
And hold on, why did you have that chance? Because Rob said it was because of Lamar, which means he wasn't on the back of a milk carton then.
We had the chance because, we had a spectacular team yesterday, and there are other contributors other than Lamar. Okay, so if that goes to your point a little bit, so be it. But to my point is this. In those moments that Lamar Jackson himself had an opportunity to do things to, in Ed's point, to put the game on his shoulders, despite the terrible play calling, despite the fumble by Zay into the end zone. He did not show up, bro. He shrunk. Here's the examples. He still had an interception. He still chose not to run in open lanes, as everybody keeps saying, OBJ pleading with him to run the ball. All right, which he made a decision to the entire year kind of not do that, right? Okay, he also had a strip sack fumble, which resulted in a turnover, right? So you're probably going to blame that on the line. But I tell you this, before they got
there. No, I blame that on him.
He could have pulled the ball down and ran the fucking ball.
Drop it. You got to go.
He said F.
I got him.
Gotta go.
Yeah, we got it.
But now, so Trippy, we can't take phone calls right now. Blame your boy.
Trippy, he just texted me. I'm not taking his call, man. hey, real quick to the point, and I think people get my words twisted sometimes. I'm not arguing that he can't be better in the postseason. I'm just arguing that he wasn't on the back of a milk carton, and it's not all his fault. I think the coaching staff's more at fault than Lamar is, and I understand the ball's in his hand, but what is he allowed to do? And yes, that strip sack was his fault.
You know what happened, Ed?
Yeah.
Jeremy was probably over there at Golden Ring in that basketball court.
Man, I lit those cats up over there.
Somebody said, what happened, Jeremy? You were on a milk carton, and Jeremy still feels some kind of way about
this
that.
This is why I don't drink milk anymore.
Keep sick, George.
Shut up, Bob.
At 8 o'clock, put on the other side, and it's Commissions Baltimore.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the whole thing that went on with a quarterback who was kind of crapped on by his coach and then became the league's leading passer.
I love this. I'm so glad you did this story.
Can we talk about Lamar again?
No, I know what story he's doing. I was in shock reading some of those comments.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Get off the milk cart, man.
Boy.
Commissions Baltimore up next.
For the fan.
We got Ed Norris and Commissions Baltimore, and I'm already pumped up for this one. What you got, Eddie?
Yeah, this is an interesting conversation that is happening publicly now with Tua Tagovailoa.
You hear me?
Who's, in this incredibly, I thought, bad run early in his career. And then, Flores gets canned and it becomes like this racial aspect to it. Like it was unfairly fired and never knew kind of what happened there. And all of a sudden, too, is like the league's leading passer. The Dolphins are looking like a really strong team in the postseason. They're one of the highest-rated teams in ESPN's preseason picks. And then this came out. Let's just hear what Tua had to say.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right. And then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it. You hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad. And you hear it more and more. You start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear, or that you probably shouldn't be hearing, you're going to start to believe that about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I agree. It's not the manager style I would appreciate. This whole everything sucks, you suck, it's, you know, you guys, you don't do this right, you don't do that right. And he's right. You think about, you're told every day, basically you don't deserve to be in this league. And that was Flores, apparently. And for him to come out publicly now, like, wow.
Yeah, it's weird because there's been so many people on both sides of this where mm-hmm. it's like, I'd say this, I was one of the types of players that I didn't mind getting beat up because that it lit a fire in me. Like, I, you mm-hmm. know, all right, you want to say, I'll show you. Now, it's a big difference if that person that's your coach isn't playing you because they're telling you you stink, yeah. you know, but
it's, yeah, I.
You know, like yeah. I'm saying there are different people where this works for him. But in this day and age, and I'm sure Rob can speak to this as well as anybody else, him coaching kids 10 years ago is so different than coaching kids today. And when you're looking at, you know, the way that things are going, you have to handle each kid differently. So it's so crazy to look at it and sit here and say, that's not how I'm going. I'm not going to sit here and tell somebody they yeah. suck every day. It just yeah. seems wrong.
Well, there's a difference. It's like there's a difference between being told you suck every day. I remember one of the most humiliating times of my career. My college coach was like, my high school coach was always on me. And we were doing, passing plays. So we were passing drills. Tight end comes across the middle. I didn't, you know, lay him out because you could then. Mm-hmm. You know, it's our own guy. So I just, you know, he screamed at me. He goes, that's what a linebacker should do. Be afraid. They ran it again. I knocked him flat. Because I was so angry, because he did get under my skin. I wasn't afraid. I was trying to be, you know, reasonable in a practice against my teammates. But when he came, number 85, came running across the middle net, I mean, that's when you could throw a forearm and just lay people out if the ball was in. I did. It just, you know, it did.
I just, you know,
but he didn't tell me I sucked every day.
That is a horrible thing.
Go ahead. I'm the opposite. Don't say anything to me. I like the coaches that didn't talk to me. Honestly, I don't need you to motivate me positively or negatively. I know my job. And I'm like that in the work environment. I don't need all the meetings. Give me the I'm a soldier. Give me the task and let me carry it through. I don't need all those meetings. I don't need to look at you every day. I don't. Tell me what I got to do. Get out of my way. Let me do what I got to do. So having said that, I can understand. I feel bad for Tua. Because if he's either the guy who needs positive motivation, or he's the guy that needs nothing, that is damning, man. That could destroy you, especially a young quarterback who's trying to figure it out. If he was a 6-7 year veteran, all of a sudden you hire Brian Flores and he does that, there's a reference point. Man, I can play in this league. I don't care what you say. I've already proven I can play in this league.
Who do you want us to send this recording to? An upper management?
Huh?
You want us to send this to somebody else? You don't need these meetings.
No, they don't know. They know. They know. Jeremy, you know me, man. Yeah, seriously.
I'm kidding, man.
No. It's been expressed. I'm okay when you're not talking to me. You know what I mean? Just tell me one time and keep it moving. Like the dude that you all complain about, they hate it. That's one of the reasons I like them. He didn't talk to me.
He didn't do anything.
I was okay. And I was okay with that.
I wouldn't piss on that guy if he was on fire.
Give me my job and let me move. Because all this communication is unnecessary. I'm not a kid. I don't need your motivation, man. Tua, I don't know if Tua's the guy that needs positive reinforcement or none. But obviously, he didn't need that. Because when that guy left, he became superstar.
Yeah, I've always like my leadership. I'd like called leadership style because that's what they taught about me at the University of Virginia Business School for 10 years. Leadership. It's different than managing because with people who are managers or bosses, it's more stick, no carrot.
Yeah,
and that doesn't work. You got to inspire people, and that's you're not inspiring anybody by telling them they suck.
And you know the thing about leadership, Ed?
Hmm?
if you're going and nobody's following, you're just taking a walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
It's, you're out there taking a walk, man.
I don't know how many times we've come out of a meeting or something, and it's like, and that could have been an email. That definitely, like, just type up those three things and send it to us and don't waste the next 25, 30 minutes.
Wow. So. We talking about Tua?
Yes.
Oh. Thank you very much for that, Ed.
Just saying what Rob's thinking. Mike,
wow.
Mike Borden joins us at 8:45, but on the other side, Kim McCusick is wondering, why is there no sunshine?
Ken wants to go home. A lot of shade. He's uncomfortable. In right
now. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.